You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for joining me today. I want to say I am grateful for the new year 2022. I keep having this on my heart that the best is yet to come. You all, we made it. We made it past 2021. And for me, it was a challenging year. So I am excited. I am feeling renewed. On January 3rd, I started my 21-day detox flat belly 2.0 challenge with Wakana. Wakana is the four African-American women who founded a cannabis company. And so I have an online dispensary. You all know I talk about my CBD, hemphappier.com or share.wakana.com. And I am an advocate of CBD use daily. I take it because it helps me calm and focus. And that's what I need to do as a clinical psychologist. But I want you to know that this detox is not only for just overall health, but I have to tell you, I've only been on it for 7 days, and the mental clarity and the energy that I feel without coffee, without anything that's really not raw vegetables and fruits and nuts, makes a difference in my mental health, in my physical health, in my energetic level. And it's just amazing. If you are interested in doing this detox, there's a 7-day, a 14-day, and a 21-day, please reach out to me on my website, healthyminds.expert. I am also offering coaching specials for the new year because I know that right now, everyone is ready for a change. I'm ready for a change. I know you're ready for a change. Change is in the air. Change and transformation. People are ready to do the work. And that's why my special guest today is really perfect. I just want to stop and take a deep breath. And I just want to release any negative energy, any toxins, anything that you might be feeling, tension, just release it. One more deep breath. And release, yes. And so without further ado, I want to introduce back for part three. This woman is phenomenal. Her name is Stephanie E. Johnson. She's a master's in clinical psychology. She is the founder and owner of a mental health coaching and consulting company called NavaPsych LLC, where she specializes in being the mental health navigator for parents, caregivers, couples, and individuals who are seeking professional mental health help. Those are uses seeking fulfillment and just self-development. She is your go-to woman. She is also the executive director of the Lee Thompson Young Foundation, an Atlanta-based mental health nonprofit whose mission is eliminating the stigma related to mental illness. And so she is out of Atlanta, Georgia, where she lives with her husband and her children. And I just want to say, you know, welcome back, Stephanie, for part three. I really appreciate your time and your just your energy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erica, for having me back. It's truly a pleasure. I'm anxious to get to talking to you. I know this is a new year. I'm grateful to be here. And I hope that what we discussed today, our discussion will help everybody listening.
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone right now might be thinking about, you know, they do the New Year's resolution. I want a new start. I want to be different. I want to be a different me, begin different daily habits. And so really, Stephanie is going to talk about, you know, how to self-coach What can you do now? And how do you advocate for yourself if you're interested in therapy, or if you're waiting to reach out to someone, or if you don't even know if you need that? That's what she's going to talk about. And so I'm just going to let you take the stage.
Well, thank you, Dr. Erica. And so you're absolutely right. A lot of people right now are seeking mental health help. They're either looking for a coach or a therapist, or they don't know where to go. They're looking for themselves as adults. They're looking for their kids, their teens, or college students. They may be caregivers of people who are diagnosed with mental illnesses. They may be caregivers of the elderly who might also be experiencing things. But what I know for sure is there just aren't enough mental health professionals out there to take everybody right away, and there's a wait, there's a bottleneck, and there's a lot of work to actually get to a mental health professional. And this is where I come in handy. So my background, as you said, is in clinical psych. I worked a lot in my career with clinical settings, so working with severely mentally ill patients in inpatient units and in outpatient behavioral health. And there are some things that I learned along the way, especially when it comes to seeking help, that I think people can benefit from. And so that's why I started NaviPsych, was to really kind of fill these holes for people, to make sure that they know exactly how to go through this process, navigating the mental health care system. But what I'm seeing that's most important right now, especially going into 3 years with this pandemic, is supporting people in understanding what they're actually experiencing and how to help themselves get through it. Because what we know for sure is we can get through this, but whatever we are bringing with us along this journey, we got to figure out what we can leave, we can put down and leave in the past, and what we can move forward with that's going to give us growth. One of the things that I've been hearing a lot from my consultation clients is that, number one, they're not sure whether or not they need therapy, but they know they feel something, right? We experience this a lot in the field where people come in, they don't really know why they're there. They just know this is where you go for help when it comes to your mind, right? And that's great. And I support anyone who is willing to at least be curious about what is coming up, even if you don't have the words, even if you don't know how to label the feelings, even if you don't know what the behavior is and where it came from, how it began. The curiosity is key. Being curious about your psychological well-being should be a lifelong process. As we ebb and flow through this life, as we incur pandemics, mass shootings, deaths of our favorite legendary people we hold so dear in our hearts, our family members, we have to learn how to manage this. And we also have to learn how to differentiate it for ourselves from trauma versus adapting versus adjusting. Right? And that's what all of this is compounding. I'm hearing it more and more and more from my clients who are seeking mental health help, that they're trying to sparse out and unpack and figure out the layers, right? And while that may be the case, what can we do in the interim to help ourselves until we can sit in front of that therapist? And how can we help ourselves in the interim between sessions, between coaching, and when we're finished with the process in the room? And that's where we have to take accountability. So a lot of what I do in my consultation is I try to help people get down to the core, right? Oftentimes people will go to therapy and not really understand where their behavior manifested from. What were those early life experiences that led to the patterns of behavior, the patterns of belief systems and perceptions that now hold strong and very concretely in their adult lives? And they're trying to manage that with an unconscious, a subliminal messaging being sent to them about those things, and then figure out, well, how do they navigate life? And so you may go into a therapy room or a coaching session with the surface thing, the thing that seems to be the problem, right? The thing that is presenting the difficulty or the challenge. But you can go through a few sessions, feel like you get some relief, but for some reason, you can get into that, 10th, 11th, 12th session and feel like, I still feel like something's there, like something is not quite finished yet. So how do you get to that core? So what I do in my consultations is help people by asking them questions. And this is something that people can do on their own. If you're curious about going to a professional, first ask yourself one question. Are you ready? Are you willing to explore the unknowns of you? Explore the areas of you that you might have locked away. Are you willing to at least crack open that door a little bit and peek in so that someone can help guide you through opening the door, turning on the light, figuring out what's there, figuring out what needs to go and what needs to stay? That's the beginning step. So before even entering or picking up the phone or going through that insurance listing to see who's out there for you, or even before calling NaviPsych and saying, hey, I want you to help me to find a therapist, take inventory of whether or not this is a part of the journey you want to begin, because it is a journey. It takes a lot of patience, and it requires a level of commitment to self that you may not have yet discovered that you can actually have and implement or execute for yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to say, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about how I often tell the clients that I work with, mental health is really human health. Yes. If you are a human being on this planet today, you are going through some kind of change, adjustment, challenge. And so when you look and think about mental health is not necessarily people, the stigma is that it's a person is crazy or a person is severely mentally ill because they're reaching out for help. That's not what I've seen. And I've been in practice for 23 years. Exactly. I see regular, everyday people like you and me just dealing with life changes and challenges. Yes. You know, because those who are severely ill and aren't able to function need higher support. Need more support, more intensive support, perhaps hospitalization. And so I want you to understand that reaching out for help to me is that first step. It is really having the courage to be honest with yourself. And like Stephanie said, like you said, take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, do you like what you see or do you want to change? And if you don't know how, reach out to Stephanie. She is that first line of defense that will help you navigate where to go.
I'm so glad that you brought up the point about honesty, because part of this idea of belief systems and perceptions about what mental health is, who needs it, who it's really for, whether or not you subscribe to it or affiliate yourself with the idea of seeing someone to help work out your problems, it's really about whether or not you're honest with your life and with yourself. We all have things that we have experienced in our lives before we could even articulate language sometimes, before we could articulate feelings and thoughts and have a framework for understanding what how those things relate to how we act and interact with people. We've all experienced things that can impact, injure, fracture, or sever our commitment or our connection to ourselves. And when we are going along these self-discovery journeys, the self-development, that's what we're doing when we go to therapy. That's what we're doing when we're seeking a healthcare professional or a mental health care professional to help us figure out in their level of expertise, what it is that I can't see. I don't know about how this life has impacted me. And you move through it. You don't press, you don't tell yourself these things don't exist. You don't tell yourself that you're going to be fine because you experience these things. You tell yourself that it would make sense to me that if I experience some challenges in my life, that I might not know how to deal with them at some point, or that I've experienced so much that I could lose the capacity for knowing how to hold everything I'm carrying with me every day. So being honest with yourself that those experiences exist, that those experiences inform your day-to-day, and that there are your experiences are informing not only your behavior that you can see, but the things in your brain, the neurological pathways, the chemicals that are going up and down and trying to balance themselves out, the things that we're feeling and sensing and ebbing and flowing in that we may not understand their connections, but we can get those connections. And the part of this beginning process to that is beginning at honesty, leveling with yourself. If you don't speak a word to anybody else about what you're leveling with yourself about before you level up in life, level at eye level first, level with yourself and make sure that you at least have an awareness that these things exist. You may not have the connections, but there are experts, there are specialists, there are people trained in those very things that can help you put those connections together step by step, one day at a time, moment by moment.
Love it. You know, one thing that most of my clients will tell me is that I offer them a different perspective. You know, I never thought about it like that. Yeah. And that's the thing. We only see through our lens, right?
Yeah.
So I always tell people your life history since the day you were born, your programming, yes. what you were fed is your lens.
Yeah.
But you can only see things through your lens. When you connect with Stephanie, when you connect with me, we have a different lens. Yeah. And so we can give you a different perspective of how to understand why you keep getting the same experiences you're getting
over and over and over.
And how That's your right. habits and how you think, habits and yeah. how you feel, habits and right. how you behave. Are impacting yes. and creating those experiences that consistently show up that you don't like.
Exactly. And when we think about the process of therapy in general or any type of self-development journey, you don't have to be in therapy to have a self-development journey, but it helps, right? It helps navigating. It helps bring to light things that your own process without this kind of studied practice, this evidential practice, this experiential practice can help you piece together in a little bit quicker time. The other thing to remember is that therapy doesn't have to be long. I think this is something that often keeps people ambivalent about starting the process, that it does, that it's going to be long and it's going to be expensive. And here's the thing that I know for certain right now, we are living through now going on 3 years of a pandemic. Our prices for everything are going up. Economy is changing. We have to recognize when our organism self is a part of an environment that we have to adapt to as it's changing, as it's evolving. And as we do that, we also have to reset our priorities in order to survive and thrive. So we may be spending money on things that we don't need, but right now I'm here to say, the practitioners you need to help keep you healthy are needs. They're not wants. They're not desirables. They are needs. If you're needing to keep those lights on and be physiological, meeting those physiological needs, you got to make some money. You got to figure out how to do that. And the best way to do that is with a sound, healthy mind. Because the more stress you're under that you can't manage, the more likely that all of those needs are going to go get met, except the needs that go above those, your own personal psychological needs. What you have experienced across your life, compounded by what we are experiencing right now, requires an admission to adjustment and adapting. So we may need to look at our budgets for the month and say, what can I get rid of in my budget that I don't need so that me and my family can be healthy, so that I can get the therapy I need, pay the market rates for the therapists because they're worth their salt and they're worth those degrees and those student loans that they're still trying to pay back. That is something of priority. If we're willing to pay for cell phones, weave and shoes and cars and houses, then we also have to be willing to pay for our optimal healthcare. Because it is what sustains us. It is the life jacket that you put on. It is the mask you put over your face before you help the other person. We have to reprioritize how we're doing life so that we can manage life according to this life, not the life of the past, not what grandmama and them used to do, not what those people in that community are doing, but what is within our wheelhouse right now. How can we arrange? I mean, we can talk about the grandmothers who had little to nothing and made a whole lifestyle, took care of the whole community and their household on a little bit. So we can maximize that type of effort into what we have now is more resources, more access to capital, more access to resources, then we can have our needs met in ways that benefit us best.
Yeah. And I want to say, you know, I don't know if you all know this, but 95% of physical disease, physical ailments are stress induced. So what does that tell you? That tells you your mental health is what drives your physical health, right?
Your brain health, right?
Your brain health. Your mind health is what facilitates and it creates the environment to flourish or to just be surviving. And folks, for the last 2 years, we've just been surviving. We have not
been thriving. We're in primal mode right now. Everybody's in primal mode where we're going back to instincts. We're going back to what we need to get from literally point A to point A and a half. We're not even trying to get to fully B because we don't know what the expectations are of B, right? That's what's actually happening. When we experience kind of these forced regulations on our environment, things like a forced lockdown or, you know, having to change the mode of work, change the mode of
vaccinations,
home, vaccinations, all of these things are changing our physiological presence, the way our mind is computing and processing information. And if we haven't been doing great at those things before, guess what? Yeah, we're going to be impacted and all of those things are going to get exacerbated. So how do we manage it? How can we slow ourselves down long enough to pay attention, to keep our focus, and to reprioritize? One, we have to commit and we have to admit, number one, that it's time to adapt differently, right? Go back over your life and see how have you actually been very intentional about managing stress, managing life. It's not just about going to the gym and working out. While it's great to do that, are you mindfully doing that with the intention that you're not rushing from work and rushing from here and rushing to get it in there, and you're not overexerting yourself? You're doing what's within your capacity because that could be just enough for that day. Are you intentionally paying attention to how many things you say yes to when your plate is already full? Are you extending yourself beyond, right? That's what a lot of us are doing. Are you learning how to say no in healthy ways, in ways that protect you and self-empower you? These are things that we might not have been putting in practice, but we have to admit that we need to first. How many things are on your plate that you don't know how to handle? You have a child who might be overly anxious right now. You may have a gifted child or a child with special needs or twice exceptional kid who's at home on virtual school. And you don't know that that twice exceptional kid or that gifted kid has specific psychological needs that have to be attended to. And now this environment has shifted that. They might not be that kid. They may be the average kid on the block. They may be a kid with developmental disabilities. How are you managing that? If you need help, how are you finding your resources? Where are you looking? Are you getting stressed out in the process of looking for help? That's where people like me come in, right? People who understand that this whole environment happens in a process and within systems. And learning the systems, getting the information for where to go within those systems, who to seek help from, because not every professional out there on social media or everybody that's advertising is actually trained to help you with your unique set of needs. You have to be able to distinguish that. And that's where I come in to help people understand by going through a consultation, for instance, recognizing that your anxiety may be for this moment, but it may not be traditional thoughts around anxiety. So you might need a certain type of professional, or you may have had this thing long-term. And so now you're in a different level of chronicity with this particular behavior and you need a specialist for that. So understanding that that's a part of the process, taking time to implement that into your daily life routine, where it can, however it fits, so that you can manage it. Because right now that's what we're trying to do in this primal state, just manage to get through it so that eventually we can thrive. I think that's where the self-advocacy comes in, right? Yep. Say we found services, right? Say we've actually done our homework and we're along this journey and we're doing the work. Well, how do we advocate when it seems like there's a stall? How do we advocate when we might have met our needs with this professional, but now we realize in that process, we may need a different type of professional or another one to supplement what we're doing. We may need some CBD. We may need some other thing to help motivate us to continue our journey. It's okay to go to that professional and say, hey, this is what's coming up for me. How can we help get to another level? How can you help me to go through this next level? I even offer to clients to say, listen, if you've been in therapy or some type of self-development process and you haven't tracked your progress with that person, it's okay to pause and say, you know, can we talk about what I've actually done in the time that we've been meeting? Because sometimes seeing it written out helps you understand where you've come from and that you're doing better than you thought you were doing, because now it's awareness. It's been brought to your awareness that you are doing it. You're doing the work. So often we can get caught in this cycle of thinking about comparing ourselves to either the people around us, the expectations and belief systems we grew up with, somebody's traditional thinking about what we're supposed to be doing versus what we're actually doing. And that becomes the noise that blocks out the actual work that we're doing day to day and the evidence, the facts we have about how we're actually helping ourselves get through what we're going through.
And I just want to say to your point, Stephanie, everyone isn't the same.
Right.
So if you've had or tried therapy before, but it wasn't a good experience, that was that person. That something didn't connect with you and that person. It's right. So important that when you meet and talk to someone that you feel comfortable enough, yes. That you feel like you're not being judged, that you feel like they can relate to your yes. story. Because only then will you be honest and open with yourself and with them in order to make that change and do the work. So
and I want to offer this. This one is a controversial one, but I like to challenge controversy. The idea that the person, that the saliency of the person you meet in a therapeutic experience has to match you in every way is an idea that might limit your growth and limit how you do your work. We know right now there's a lot within the Black community saying, well, we should go to mental health. Everybody's kind of in the mental health revolution space. Like, we need to go, we need to do it. Everybody needs to go. And there's this idea also that we need professionals that look like us, who share our story, who share da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And I will tell you, the number one, here are the facts. There's not enough of them out there, period, to meet every Black person, every Hispanic person, it's not enough mental health professionals in the United States, period, right? Then when you look at that by group of ethnicity, it's not enough in one group to see everybody. Then when you lower that into, well, what are their specialties? What are they trained to do? How many psychologists versus psychiatrists versus master's level social work, mental health counselor? It varies. So to find the person who connects with you as a human is the goal. The goal is, can this person see me as a human being and all that I bring into the room and be comfortable enough in themselves to understand that I'm having a human experience and I am the expert on my human experience, not them? Can they usher in everything that comes with me and allow it to exist in the room without them getting uncomfortable and defending it themselves and projecting on me their stuff? There's one of my favorites is Esther Perel. She is like my Beyonce of psychotherapy. She is one of my favorites because in her journey of her work, this woman who is a survivor of the Holocaust, who speaks 9 languages, who now is an internationally known therapist, has been able to meet with all walks of life and help them get through their human experiences in ways that have been groundbreaking for them, right?
I love it.
Is the goal. That is the goal. Seek out someone you connect with at a human level.
I love it. Where can they connect with you? Where can they learn more?
So you can find me at navipsych.com. That is NAVIPSYCH.com. I am also under the same name on Instagram at NaviPsych. A lot of the material that you see on my Instagram is shared information. I love sharing resources. I love sharing good information. So you may not see a lot of me and my own stuff there, but my goal is to be the connector, be the navigator, help you find and connect with the things that match your needs the best. That is what I'm really good at and what I pride myself on. Hopefully this year I can get in a little bit more of my sharing my own stuff too.
I love it. Thank you so much, Stephanie Johnson. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to having you back for part four. Stay tuned.
I look forward to it as well. Thank you so much, Dr. Erica.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.